Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started.
Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. You know, I think whenever people think of me and what sorts of things that I teach or am passionate about, men's work or life purpose for men or healthy masculinity would probably be the top note of what people would say. And that makes sense, right? After all, I have a show called Base Camp for Men, and I've written a book of essays for men called Body and Soul, The Essential Handbook for Men. And I've led lots of different kinds of men's groups. But for me, I think what I'm really here to do is point people towards the light, towards God or the divine, towards the deeper mystery that we are. I look back on my life and I've always been someone who believed in the magic of myth, the magic of the stars, the magic of synchronicity or of extraterrestrials and crop circles, the magic of the divine and the magic that is us. For at the heart of the mystery for me is a multidimensional aha that is awe-inspiring in its implications. I believe we're just now starting to realize what we really are. The 3D reality of this Earth school can no longer hold us. We are bursting at the multidimensional seams, are we not, Base Campers? The veil is thinning. Everyone can feel it. That is why all the old success dreams of 3D Earth seem so lifeless right now. Have you noticed that? The only thing that is consistently inspiring to us as a tribe is the promise of transcendence. To me, there is not just one path up the mountain. I know this is an irritating thing for true blue Christians to contemplate, but there's more than one way up the mountain, so to speak. We are being beckoned by the higher realms, and who is doing the beckoning may well be different depending on your life stream and who helps you understand this higher realm as well as the road to get there. Today is one of my favorite kinds of interviews, sitting around the campfire with a fellow mystic as we talk about God, extraterrestrials, Christ, and the meaning of it all. How can I not love this sort of discussion? Make yourself a good cup of tea and pull up a chair. Me and my new friend Jenny unpack it all and more in what will hopefully be one of several interviews. Enjoy the conversation. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Jenny Byers. Jenny is a mother, a mystic, and teacher who shows others how to grow their capacity to live from the light, from source. She is the founder of Spirit Reunion Sanctuary, a beautiful retreat center nestled in East Tennessee Hills where people can come recharge and renew themselves and their divine purpose in life. Here is my interview with Jenny Byers. All right, I am here with Jenny Byers, mother, healer, and mystic, and retreat leader, Jenny Byers. Jenny, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, you and I, we were just recently at James Gilliland's retreat, Iseti, at near Mount Adams, and you and I just, we clicked, we connected, and I just, as soon as I saw you talking and stuff, I was like, oh, I really want to get her on the podcast, and thankfully you were game, and we're going to talk all about, you know, sessions and ETs and retreats and all that stuff, but before we really get going, maybe you could just introduce yourself, anything that's kind of relevant, like where you grew up, maybe your family, kids, and kind of what you do for work now or anything that you want to let our listeners know about before we really get rolling.
Sure. I grew up in Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. And my mom's side of the family were Native Americans. So they really brought the connection into our family. I was born with an ability to connect interdimensionally. And I tell people the reason for this is because it was active in my genetic line. So my grandfather, his mother, and then her mother were using it actively. And I feel like when you use something, it's just alive and it transfers to your children. Not that other people cannot do it, because they can. It just might be a little bit harder to access because it hasn't been used. It's kind of dormant. But I was born being able to hear spirit. For me, it was normal in my family. Now, my dad's side of the family were very different. My dad was a Christian preacher, and I got that side of it, which was amazing for me. So, as a little kid, I was very connected to Jesus, and I could actually hear Jesus. And I spent a lot of time in nature and having interactions that I remember very, very clearly. Things that I was told. The most important thing I remember, I was probably around four, and I heard Jesus say to me, "You have arrived on earth and you are free to create whatever you want. You are fully protected." And I remember laughing out loud and feeling the joy of that. And I've never forgotten it. And I feel like anytime, I get afraid or get feeling like I'm getting lost, I can hear that again in my head. So I feel like it was just such a vital thing for my journey. And so I ended up, the most important thing later on in my life is I ended up working in professional racing, and I was an accountant. So it was very, very left-brained. Even though as a child I was very right-brained, I ended up having both, like my mom and my dad. My dad was an engineer. He was very computer guy, and I felt like I had both. And I feel like it was very important that I came in with those choices, because when I worked in professional racing, when I was in accounting for so many years, it was sort of amplifying that part of me. And it made it easy for me to relate to people that are struggling more with the left brain to kind of get back into the field. So I kind of walk that path. The next important thing about my upbringing is my mom, when I was 14 years old, during that harmonic convergence, you remember that? Like I was like
Yes, I do.
7. Well, she had a spontaneous awakening, and she came to me and told me that she was a walk-in. At that time, I was 14.
I
I knew
don't
nothing.
know, that just cracks me up. I'm a walk-in. Just want you to know I had an epiphany. I know who I am.
I mean, truly, we thought my mom had gone crazy. I mean, my dad was like looking at me. He's like, "I'm sorry, honey. I think your mom needs mental health." Like, it was really bad. And she couldn't stop crying, and she couldn't stop telling me. And I was the kid that was open, and I was the one she told everything to, which was really cool. So, yeah, she would talk to me about out of body. She's like, "Your soul doesn't have to stay in its body, right?" And I was like, "Mom, you are so crazy. Like, seriously, like, you are just freaking me out." Like, it was so hilarious when I look back. But she did have an awakening, and she actually did know all kinds of stuff. And she was actually right. She was really amazing. So she came to me, like, basically, I feel like she trained me. So she had about 10 years with me before she died. And during that 10 years, I stayed very close to her. It was literally like having a spirit guide. She was able to communicate with spirit. She was doing sessions. I mean, she was interviewed on the news. She was doing speaking. She was actually becoming well known. And I was right by her side through the whole thing, and just amazed by her and watching her and the purity of her, because she was just pure, such a beautiful, pure love. And so I remember her getting a lot of criticism from the family, especially because the Christians in our family thought that she was gonna, go to hell for this. So I remember the conversations she would have. She like courageously just went out there and just said it, and she didn't care because she truly knew she only had a short time left on Earth, and she had a mission. So, she kind of just taught me what it was like to be courageous in your knowing, even though she was getting attacked so much. And so it was such an amazing thing for me as a teenager and a young adult to witness her courage, no matter what people did, like the way that she stood in love and just handled it, because it was coming for me too, in a different way. But she even said to me, "Look, I'm walking you through. Follow my lead. I'm going to show you how this is done." And then she came to me one night. We'd stayed up really late talking, and she would channel my grandma, and it was just like the most amazing insight. And she was leaving, and she looked at me and she said, "Look, I'm gonna go." And I was like, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to the other side." She said, "My soul has already shown me." Very few moments my mom was serious. She laughed all the time. She was very lighthearted, but she was really looking into my soul at that time. And I could feel it. I knew. I was about 25, and she passed when I was 29. She ended up getting leukemia and dying 3 weeks later. So that whole process was just super profound for me because she knew, she said, my soul has already shown me. You and I are going to have a sacred contract to continue doing this together. I'll be working with you on the other side, and you'll be doing it here. So at 25,
what was her name?
Kitty.
Kitty.
Yeah.
What a courageous woman, man. She was so far ahead of her time too. You know, it's like, you know,
very much. And you know, she struggled here a lot, by the way, didn't like it here, wanted to go. She'd always be like, I don't know what I'm doing here. She was really happy to get out. And, you know, so the night before she passed, I knew that she was dying and I went and I couldn't stop crying. And I laid on the floor. I remember just hysterical because even though she had told me I had never lost anyone, I was very young. And of course, not her, my best friend. And I laid there crying and all of a sudden this portal opens up above me and she's hovered above me and she says, I'm not your mom. Mm. She said, I am you, you're me, I'm your guide. Like she's, you know, and I said, well, I was totally pulled into the 0 point moment with her. And I said, well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do this without you. I was just so devastated. But, you know, she just knew that I was, and she knew I'd figure it out, and she didn't baby me. You know, she loved me, but she didn't baby me. And, you know, there was this maturing time for me where I loved her so much and I was in so much grief that I could not hear her, that I realized that I was going to have to mature. I was going to have to do something differently in order to reach her. And I, you know, I'd say in my book that I wrote about this, like I was literally clawing my way back to her. And I feel like it was her love that pulled me into the other dimension with her. It was my deep love for her that wanted it so badly that it enabled us to be connected again.
That's great. What a great story, man. Your mom sounds so courageous. What a role model. And even to get that she, you know, it's just like, I'm not your mother, you know, like even acknowledging that there's a higher connection. You know, I want to shift a little bit because you brought up a number of things there that are really fascinating. I don't want to touch yet on the Native American connection because I have that too. And maybe we can touch on that before the end. But, you know, when I was younger, I had kind of a not what you had, but I remember I told this story on James Gilliland's podcast that, you know, when I was younger, when I saw the crop circles, I had a similar kind of epiphany where it seemed like viewing the crop circles, a whole bunch of them, it unlocked something in me, a remembering or an inner knowing that other people couldn't see, because I would show other people and they dismissed it, or they said, oh, that's probably just like two drunk guys on lawnmowers. I'm like, no, that's not what that is at all. Like, there's no way two drunk guys on lawnmowers in the middle of the night are going to create this thing that's bigger than two football fields. Like, the plants aren't even damaged. They just are laying down. This was created by a higher intelligence, clearly. And look at how perfect the fractal geometry is. Like, are you not? And they would be like, I don't know. I don't know what that is. They would so, and I was like, everybody dismisses this. Why is this so profound for me? But I feel like that's where things changed for me. All of a sudden, I really got good at speaking the truth, no matter what people said. And my pattern recognition was heightened about 10x. Like, all of a sudden, I could really see things that weren't harmonious or weren't the truth. And it, I think my trajectory because of that changed drastically. But back then, so this is back, you know, I was in my 20s, you know, and I always thought, you know, the ET thing and the consciousness thing were two different things. So it's like, here's the weirdos over here with the ETs. And then here's all the yogis and the meditation people and the elevate your vibration people over here. And I kind of did both. I kind of danced in both. And I didn't really see how closely they were related until maybe the last five, six, 8 years, where I really saw, oh, this isn't separate at all. Like, my affinity for the star seeds and all the ETs and the all that stuff, it's the same thing as my affinity for a mystic that teaches in, you know, the non-dual Advaita Vedanta tradition, or anybody that is skillful at teaching humans what they really are, I kind of gravitate towards. And so I just wanted to give you a chance to comment on that, because when I was younger, I didn't see that
you know, I thought it was like my left side and my right side. And then I realized, oh, this is one thing that you've been learning the whole time. It's just you, the crop circles opened up the ET thing, and you're attracted to rising consciousness or people that speak from this kind of elevated awareness of both who they are and where we're going. And those are really the same thing. And you're going to see when you get older, those, that road is really one road. You just think it's two different things. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, of course. Because the way that so the way my mother explains this to me, she's so funny because she works with my mind in a way that I can simplify things. She always says to me, if it's not simple, it's not your higher timeline. She talks to me about timelines, and she says, you know, your focus is always to be on your greatest potential timeline experience, which runs from your higher self and me. She says her and I are actually one in the same essence. We come from the same higher self. We're both just fractals of the same. So she basically came in when I was 14, got me back in touch with my higher self through her, went over to the other side and anchored me in. And she says that there's all these different timelines running. And on the highest and greatest timeline, everything is light. Everything. Everything is just a different experience of light. On the distorted timelines, you have all these different creations. She calls it Pandora's box. And so she says, when you learn to recognize the light in things, then you're on your highest timeline experience when you're seeing the light, because that's where the light exists. And the others are just, you know, distorted, like shadows or reflections of that higher timeline. And so this is really helpful for me, because like you're saying, you know, you can have all these different belief systems, all these different ideas and things, but when you hone in on the light in it, it's all the same. So the light is in it all. You learn to turn your attention to what's light in it. And, you know, I do that with religion. I do that with everything. Where's the light in that? Okay, that's where you focus. And that's where we're taught, let the light teach you, you know, kind of thing. She'll always be saying, you know, it's intelligence. It's source, and it works with us, and it's inside of us and outside. It's everything. So with the ETs, I mean, my mom had visitation when she was a kid. She used to tell me that grays were in her room as a child. So I was raised with the open mind of that, because she would always talk about it. And it's important, you know, when you're kids, that you hear this stuff and it sounds normal. It makes it easier to accept later. I never had those experiences when I was a kid with any of that. And I feel like she protected me because she didn't like it. So I feel like she never really allowed any of that for me. But I remember before she passed away, calling me at work one day, and she said there were grays in her bedroom again. And I said, what were they doing? She said, just being nosy. And I didn't like it. I told him to go. But for me, my experience with ETs was nothing but powerful and positive. But it happened when I did a psilocybin journey with a Korean healer. So when I did that journey, they actually came to me. I'd set intention for that journey that I see beyond the illusion, had a near-death experience, you know, was kind of out above and in the other dimensions, looking down at myself, trying to decide if I was coming back. You know, it was just like full near-death experience communication. And there were three beings that came to me. And for me, I feel like they're Syrian. They never said. But I've always been so drawn to the Orion, the Syrian, you know, the Lion's Gate. I have a powerful experience around that. And they just looked it, you know, in my mind's eye. So the funniest part of that was they said, when I first saw them, they scared me. And they said, get the scary alien image out of your head. We don't look like that. And I thought that was really funny, because I thought, okay, there's a program. And then once I cleared that program, I could see them, and they looked like they were bald and tall and thin. And they just told me that they had come to help me integrate my minds, because I had been split. And they did. And when they did that, it was the first time I felt like I was fully present, like my soul was fully present back in my body again. So I feel like they have such a beautiful purpose for us. They said, you know, we're answering your call to awaken. You know, you guys have gotten lost in this physical reality. We've participated. We're part of the creation of it. We're all one. We're a higher version of you in a higher dimensional realm. That kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They never said they were from another planet, which I find to be interesting. They said they exist in another dimension right here on Earth with us. But anyway, it was powerful for me, life-changing. And that's after that, 6 months later, I quit my job in racing and I got a property in the mountains and I started Spirit Reunion Sanctuary. And it was because of that interaction with them that it really prepared me and set me on my path.
That's great. That's great. I love that you're introducing the different, you know, there's several, you know, I have a strong connection to the Pleiadian tribe, you know, the seven sisters and all that stuff. I don't know what it is. You mentioned Sirian and Orion. There's also Arcturians and a few others are Andromedan. And these seem to be the ones that work most closely with humanity because there's people that channel them or have experiences with them. I've always thought of the ET phenomenon is representing, you know, what you had said, the higher dimensions, but that there was a distinction. I remember the light going off that and realizing that there was, I was being downloaded actually, that there was a distinction between celestial star consciousness, which is higher dimension, and terrestrial planetary. And I'm like, oh, of course there would be. Of course there would be, you know, the sun is, you know, this light being. And Sirian is Sirius is the star, you know, all that is going to be higher than Mars, let's say. You know, anything that's a planet and hard is going to have a different, is working through different dimensions than, and we seem to be at a time on Earth when there's an intersection. There's a lot of higher dimensional beings. Also, the star seeds or the people that are here on Earth are helping to pull everything up for Earth right now as well. And there's a whole lot of darkness right now. I mean, what's being revealed that is happening in the elite circles and stuff is like, whoa, it is like the greatest possibility and light beings. At the same time, people are gradually going, what in the heck is going on? What are they doing? And so it's a super fascinating time to be alive. I know a lot of Christians. I travel more in a Christian circle now than, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago when I was a liberal and I was living in New York City and I was doing, you know, transcendental meditation and you know, talking about India and all the different goddesses and all that stuff. So I've kind of, in a way, come full circle. But I wanted to ask you because I'm a little surprised. Like, sometimes I hear how the ET disclosure conversation kills Christian faith. Like, and I can tell how quickly many Christians I know do not want to talk about disclosure. They don't want to talk about the ET thing because they feel like it completely cancels the possibility that Jesus lived here and had this myth and this resurrection. But for me, I was always, maybe because I was prepped for it, I never thought it ruined anything. I always thought, well, wait a minute, couldn't he have been a Pleiadian or a Sirian or an Andra? Could he have been a higher dimensional ET who came here to teach everybody and leave this amazing legacy, which he did? And couldn't the resurrection story have been because he was a higher dimensional being who wasn't tied to the physical body? I feel like a lot of Christians are like, the Bible says this, and they've got this really solid 3D interpretation of the myth rather than a fluid, you know, if you're really working with myth, I feel like it can incorporate almost anything into the myth. And I feel like there's just too much concrete interpretation. So they have to leave it out because it doesn't fit a concrete interpretation. But I don't think Jesus would have been, I think Jesus would have pressed them to have a mythical view of the whole thing rather than say, no, you're right. It says the, you know, New Testament or whatever. So it has to be that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I feel that, first of all, how many books are we missing from the Bible? So there's all kinds of things that have been taken out for a reason. And I remember as a kid, my grandpa read the Bible and he would interpret it. He was a Native American. He would interpret it so differently. And he would talk to me about it. And he said, you know, in the Bible, they talk about UFOs and they talk about aliens. And I said, really? And he would show me in the Bible where it said that, and I read it. And I wish I could go back. I was a teenager, and I wish I could go back and remember. But he would read it to me and say, "That's what do you think of that?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, it does talk about that. That makes sense." So there's so much more in interpretation than people are really allowed to go into, because when you're in a church situation, you're not really free to explore and think for yourself. I say it's, what's the definition of a cult? You're not allowed to think for yourself, truly not allowed to explore certain things and go that, without the threat of, oh, Satan is gonna tempt you. Don't read that, I had a really hard time with that. And actually, my connection with Jesus was so strong when I was a child, but we left the church because my sister was violated in the church. And the church said, oh, God forgives him. He should come back and you should come back. And, the idea that my sister's going to be around the man that violated her was absolutely absurd. So we left the church, and my family went through a big crisis. My dad went through a major crisis, became agnostic, so this was a powerful thing. But when I was in my 20s, I watched the Last Temptation of Christ, and I was so amazed with it because it actually made sense to me that I had not spoken to Jesus or wanted anything to do with religion or Jesus after this happened to my sister. And I was 4, but I was just growing up, we had just completely moved away from it because it felt so fraudulent. And I felt like I was connecting with him again, and I could feel him. And he actually appeared to me. He appeared at the end of my bed, and he said, "You have finally come back to me." And it was a year before my mom was getting ready to pass, and I didn't understand what he meant, but I do now know that it was me coming back to him that brought me back to her. And what he says to me, he works with me all the time now. And he just tells me, "I never separated you. I would never separate you from loved ones. I would never separate you from love." That's the ultimate illusion that's been perpetrated by the religious cult. So I think there's a religious cult, and then I think there's true Christianity or true connection, direct connection. And I can differentiate the two. And I know a lot of people now that have moved outside of the religious cult into the pure essence of Christianity. And they come here to my place, and they're a part of this because there's no separation. Jesus is involved in what I do. He doesn't say that I'm living in sin because I'm speaking to my mom, because he's the one who actually brought her back to me. So there's a lot that we're beginning to understand and come back to in the essence of all this. And as far as ETs go, I feel that we incarnate into different physical realms all the time. I don't think it's near as limited. So all it's so vast and it's so beautiful. And we have all these different realms and all these different roles that we get to play, all these physical bodies that we get to go into. It's just an absolute, like, beautiful, amazing thing. And I don't think that any of us are limited to just being human or just being a star seed. I just think we're finally opening up to all the potentials and possibilities of what we were or could be. And it's absolutely incredible. And I think Jesus is a part of all that. I went to a retreat up in the mountains, and the lady there was amazing. She channeled, they mentored me for about 10 years. And she would always say, Jesus shows up to me as an alien a lot. She said, he'll appear to me as an alien. So, in different forms. And she said, but I can always know his essence the when he comes to me. She said, his essence is very, very sweet. And she said, you can recognize it no matter what form he's in. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful, beautiful way of seeing it. And yeah, I'm seeing, I don't know about you. You might be, because you're in your space and in retreat, it's very unique. You're in a very unique space, as well as James at Esetti. I live in Seattle, and it's bad here. And when I mean bad, you could see the impact of the spiritual battle that we're in living color here, right? It's like there's tons of mental illness, there's tons of homelessness and drug addiction,
And there's also just a lot of lost people, a lot of people that have lost their way. And also, I see a lot of really good people, Christians and non-Christians alike. I see a lot of good people that look battle fatigued. They are just, we've been swimming in kind of lies and deception in this material plane for so long. And so many things that we were taught turned out to be completely wrong. Like it completely lied to, like a 180, like almost everything that they've taught us about the reality that we live in is absolutely upside down. And so I think even people that aren't mystics, even people that don't get into the stuff that you and I have gotten into, they look just cross-eyed. And, you know, and I think for good, you know, for good humans that are like, want to believe and, you know, that things are moving in a good direction, it's been really challenging. You have all these people that hate Donald Trump. So they're just like, everything's going to shit, right? And then for people that maybe that's not the case, they can look out, like I can look out in Seattle and I can see them aerosol spraying the skies, you know, like not every day, but all, regularly they just spray us with aluminum, barium, you know, just like just boom, boom, boom. And also there's a lot of awareness of all the child trafficking, you know, kind of the stuff that happened to your sister is widespread. Pedophilia, all the different things that we know are happening and that help keep this 3D reality glued to the old system, there doesn't seem to be much justice. And I think people on the good side are kind of like, hey, when do the good guys really start to show that we've got some things going in our favor? And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But then before I hand it to you, like for me, it's why I gravitate towards like the work that you're doing or James is doing, the ET thing. Everybody knows I'm a big Bitcoiner. Why? Well, it's superior money. It's decentralized away from all the technology that is working to surveil and ensnare us and enslave us in different ways. But also Bitcoiners are super optimistic. They're like, hey, we're going to El Salvador. We're building this. I gravitate towards people that are optimistic. And there might not be a, there's more power in a kind of optimistic view, not as a Pollyannish, like we're going to win all the while you believe we're getting our asses kicked. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually being able to be educated by the light, seeing where there's the most light in which tribes, putting yourself in those conversations. And so for me, that's the path. But I also wanted you to speak a little bit because where I'm at in Seattle, it's like, God, man, it's so 3D is so grim. What can I do besides exactly what I'm doing, which is doing my best to keep my family elevated, my friends, keep having conversations that speak to the excitement of the future that we're going towards without being kind of naive or without recognizing, oh my God, that person's really hurting. How can I help? Knowing that I can't save everybody, but it's like, what else can I do besides the podcasts and all the stuff? So I just wanted you to speak about that. I don't know if you see it as much. You probably do when you travel into different areas, you can see it, but in Seattle, it's like, it's really evident that the dark side has beat a lot of people down and they don't know really maybe how to elevate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I travel a lot and I've been over to Dubai recently. So, and when you go to these other countries, it's very, very clear what's going on in the United States. I mean, this is like it's like a brainwash experiment. I mean, truly the heaviness of the energy here, it's like the frequency weapons, all this is going on, the poisoning, like we're getting hit the hardest. I do believe we are in the US. And I question, you know, why was I born here? But I feel like we've got a lot of powerful souls that have come into the U.S. for this. And I know, you know, and I trust that there's a reason why I'm here. And one of the things that my mom did through me when we wrote this book was she taught me through what we call spirit school. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing was we have not learned to hold and master our own higher vibrational state of being. And this is what's so important for us right now. So if you look at what this agenda is, it's to keep us from staying in a higher vibrational state of being and to keep us from being connected into higher dimensional realms to loved ones, you know, to the ones that go ahead of us and actually are working with us. It's such an important connection that's been severed. And so we get stuck in a lower frequency of separation. It's very difficult to be in, and it's very easy to get lost, and it's very easy to forget who we are. So that's the agenda. And there's not everybody has the same mission here. There's those, you know, my mom will often say to me, you know, there are two different solid timelines running, like really genuinely, like two different dimensional frequencies going at the same time. And Edgar Cayce talks about this. So mm-hmm. Dolores Cannon, this split, and even specifically Edgar Cayce said that in 2026, it would be such a defined split of dimensional realms. So you've got the lower density one going right next to the higher density one, and they're running parallel. And one of the things my mom always explained to me, she said, where I sit in a higher dimensional frequency, I can look down and I can see all the distorted timelines running. She said, but what I don't do is have a negative emotional response to them, because then I'm in it and I'm co-creating in it.
Yeah. So
really, it's training for us in mastery, in being able to understand how powerful we are, how much our vibration affects the reality. And so we're constantly being lured into co-creating more distorted timelines and realities, because that's what the whole agenda is for us. And when we wake up out of it, and we no longer participate, it's not that we don't care. It's that we know how powerful we are. And we know that if we have a negative emotional response to that distorted creation, we are now co-creating in it. Jesus talks to me about this a lot. He says, I refuse to acknowledge distorted creation as real. And he said it to me that clear. And it was powerful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And everybody's choosing for themselves. And another thing that was really important that she taught me is that she said the light is coming in stronger than ever now. Well, when the light comes in strong, we always have the duality of that. We have the opposite pushback. Mm-hmm. So as more light comes in and we're in a field of light that's transmuting distorted reality in real time, if we work with it, if we intend it, if we allow it, it's intelligence, it's here. But she said most of us have been so accustomed to not having light and existing in a separation field that most of us aren't aware of it, or we're kicking it right out of our field, out of our body. So she taught me to sit in the sun. She said that the sun's a wormhole. Yeah. It goes straight into higher dimensional realms. You know, these ships come in and out of the sun all the time. So she's, you know, when you look at the sun with your eyes closed, you can begin to see the sacred geometry codes coming from the sun. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
So light codes
are great.
Those light codes welcome them into your body, you know, start working with it, become more light adaptive. And she would say to me, the more light you sit in, the more light you pull in, the more you adapt to it, the longer you can hold more light in your body, and it's cumulative. And so right now, it's really important that we begin really working with light. And this is what I do. This is what I teach. This is what people do when they come here. We're focused on becoming more light adaptive. We're focused on accessing communication in the higher dimensions so we can get guidance. And it's also really important for me to say that my mom, you know, the purpose of her being my mom in the first place is to really impress upon all of us the importance of these connections in the human avatar, because love is truly, and I know we've heard authenticity is the highest frequency, but that's because we're not even touching on what source love is yet. Here we are dealing with more distorted versions of love. But when you start accessing higher dimensional realms and you start getting in light body and journeying into those realms, which we all can do, and this is what we do here, you become very much activated with more and more light. Your body becomes healed. Like all the things, it's like the ultimate medicine. Like we have plant medicine, we have all these things. The ultimate medicine we work with is source light. And it's right here. It speaks to us. It teaches us. It activates us. And It's just so important. That to me is the answer to the question. What do we do with all of this distortion coming at us? Access more light, bring in more light, because we actually are just vessels for energy. These avatars, they're vessels for energy. And what energy are we running? Are we running what I call matrix codes, or are we running source codes, light codes?
That's great.
That awareness is so important.
You know, you said a few things there. One that I can fall into, but I notice other people falling into, is exactly what you're saying, which is sometimes we co-create what we don't want to see, right? Because we're like, oh, it's, you know, or, you know, we watch a movie that's got all this predictive programming, and it's like almost anything where, and I hear this people saying, you know, oh, humanity's just a terrible species. And I'm like, you've been programmed to think that, like, or now you're seeing all the ways that things are going to hell in a handbasket. But that's part, you're being co-opted to co-create a lower vibrational shit show, basically, right? Like, you got to pull yourself out of the muck. And the other thing that I thought of when you were talking is, I had a guy on, maybe it was like season three or something like that, but he did sun gazing, not when the sun was really high, but when it got really low at sunset and sunrise, he was like, you can look right at it because it's not. And so we started doing that. We started without sunglasses. We started just looking right at the sun. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't hurt your eyes. And it turns into this, like you talked about fractal geometry. It also throws off, you can see all of the violet rays, the purple violet rays that come off of it that aren't evident when you're just walking around going, oh, there's the big yellow ball, you know, high in the sky or whatever. But when you really look and take it in, there's all this information that comes out of you taking your time to sit with it. And it's like, so I wanted to mention that. But also wanted to get into ESETI. So James Gilliland, it was your first time there, but I know you have a connection with James. And my wife and I, my wife's been there now three times. It was our second time. We're probably going to go, you know, every single summer, just because we get recharged from it. And I'm not always around people that are at ESETI in Seattle so much. I have my friends and stuff, but I just wanted to ask you, like, what did you get out of it? What was like the big takeaway? It was your first time at ESETI, and how was it for you?
So the first thing I want to mention is I was actually taught, and I was mentored at a retreat center that was just like ESETI. It was so much. So in 2008 is when I found them, and actually Jesus had taken me there. So I had an experience where Jesus came to me and takes me to this place. And then 5 years later, I stepped onto that property and realized that I was there. And while I was there, I had the most magical things happen to me. Like, the veil was extremely thin and it was a vortex. So it was my first experience at a property where somebody was actively working to keep the veil thin. And I remember Michael, who owned it, looked at me and he said, you know, there's a veil that is between this dimension and the higher realms. And he said, heaven. And he said, it's not to keep us out. It's to protect them and those dimensional realms from the energy here that's so tainted. And he said, and when you create spaces that are higher vibrational and you're pulling in more light, he said, the veil is free to dissolve. And then they are free to interact with us without the risk of them getting, you know, the dirty energy. And I was like, wow, okay. So ESETI is another one of those places. And, you know, you feel it when you go to these places, because they're, the animals are coming up to you and they're, there's a harmony. It's really like a heaven on earth experience. And James works day and night the same way Michael did to keep the energy clear there, you know, and that's, it's just the parallel of that is so important. We also can do this in our own homes. We're meant to be doing this. It's not just for places like The Quiet Place or ESETI or Spirit Reunions. This is something that we are meant to do in our own homes and our own space, so that the veil can be thin in your own home and you can interact through the dimensional realm. So I want to say that, because I think sometimes we get so enamored with these places and we think we have to go to these places to experience that, which is not the case, but it's fun because we get to meet each other and we get to meet community there. So that's what I love about it. And I also feel like these centers are all connected. So what I got the most was my Bigfoot interaction, which was so funny to me that the Bigfoot smell, I got the real strong Bigfoot smell, and I could tell that it was interdimensionally, like standing right next to us on the deck. Like there's, it was so, so intense that there's no way that that was anywhere but right next to me. I just couldn't see it. And then the next day it left me a heart rock. And so James told me, he said, the Bigfoot came last night and left a gift for you. And I knew it was for you. And he hands me a heart rock, and I collect heart rocks. You'll see them all over my property in different places. And I just started crying. It was like so sweet and so beautiful. I was so touched. It was the first time I've been gifted something by a Bigfoot that I knew was from the Bigfoot. Like I've had ideas. I have Bigfoot here. I've had interaction with the Bigfoot here, but I've never, had like the gift that I can carry with me and know that that was definitely a gift from Sasquatch. So that was amazing for me, to be honest.
That's awesome.
Like, super sweet. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We look forward to, I love that you said, you can take the principles that you're using and that James is using to create it, that you're meant to thin the veil at home. You listener and you, Tony. And I think that's a great message, because I think it's kind of like the person that only does meditation when they go on retreat and they don't do it when day to day, which is day to day is where the rubber meets the road, really. And in your space, right? That's like, what is that looking like? Is that, are you repelling, are you keeping the veil thick? Are you thinning it because of the energy, and you're keeping pure, thoughts, feelings, actions, space, spatial, all this stuff. But let's talk about a little bit like Spirit Reunion Sanctuary. That's your retreat in Eastern Tennessee. We're starting to pull the horse in the barn. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about like what types of things come up for people where they want to reach out. I know my wife is interested in doing sessions with you because she's a little bit maybe looking for the next chapters for herself. A lot of what we talked about today will probably resonate, but also doing really concentrated work with somebody like you, I think would make a huge difference in having her transcend maybe a couple of the obstacles that have been there for a while. And she's kind of tired of trying to figure out on her own. But also just tell us maybe how you started the sanctuary. I assume it's probably a bit like James's, but with a woman's touch. I think James's is kind of like a bachelor's kind of spiritual retreat, the way he has it. My wife's like, it's kind of like a bachelor started all this stuff. And, and so, yeah, I would imagine yours has got a little bit more of a woman's touch. But what kind of retreats are you doing? Just give you a chance to talk about working with you. Where can people find you? And yeah, how the retreat center got started, and what can people expect when they go there?
Sure. So I had just learned, how to keep the veil thin, all these things that I had learned from, Michael and Cecilia, who had the Quiet Place that's no longer there, but it was so amazing for me to be there and experience that. It was like literally like a little portal to heaven right on earth that I didn't know could exist. And I said, I have to create this. I just knew that it was my mission. And I started building in 2012. And it's very DIY. It's so much like James's place, but absolutely with the woman's touch. Yes. And we have all the amenities that a woman would want to be comfortable, because I'm all about like glamping and you're very comfortable, everything's got air and heat and, all the things. So very much the same, but a little different. James and I are very similar. Our mission's very similar. So it's very fun to meet other people that are doing this. But when people come here, it's very experiential, just like James's place. It's very important that we have these direct experiences with higher vibrational veil thinned places, because it activates you. So for me, when I went to the Quiet Place and I sat in that energy and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never sat in vortex energy. Oh my gosh, my mom is waking me up in the night, get up and get a pen and paper. And it's effortless. All of a sudden, there she is. It's easy to be in a higher space. It was like I couldn't even feel my ego self if I tried. My heart chakra was spinning out of my chest, and it was physical for me. And I was like, okay, what is this? And this is actually a thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I wanted to create another place like this. And so, and I do it with my own twist, and my mom is truly behind it all. You know, we work together as a team. Sometimes she comes to people at night and she speaks with them. She's all about helping people heal, helping people to rise and expand their consciousness. And James, his place is so experiential in the rise of consciousness as well, where you see these ships and you get this interaction with Sasquatch, and all of a sudden you're like, this is real. Like, this is actually real. That's so important for our minds. And when you're here, I journey people into the higher dimensional realm. So basically, I get you to your loved ones who were never meant to be separate from you in the first place. So we reactivate that. And then from, you know, by the time you leave, you are already having direct communication with those on the other side. And, you know, so it's to me, the system that we have right now that is really coming in heavy towards us is doing everything it can to help us, or to get us to believe that that it's more powerful than us. That's the whole gimmick. It's an illusion. It wants us to believe that it is so powerful, but it's not. It's actually the opposite. So when we understand and we stop looking at it and believing this, we literally flip the whole script, and we're here to flip the script.
I love that. I love that. That is a great message. Well, I cannot wait. We should do this again. It's like sitting around. I feel like we could go for another hour, but I know I've got my time limits. But I just so appreciate you coming on and sharing your insight and your wisdom. A bunch of different things came up. I felt like I was learning from you at the same time, riffing about my own life story and so many things. We didn't even touch on the Native American thing. That could be for next time, along with some other stuff. But I know you're traveling for retreat, so travel safe. We'll stay in touch. I can't wait. I hope this leads to people doing sessions because I think the message of we're here to thin the veil and don't believe all the doomsday stuff. That it's not as scary. The monster's not really as scary as they're making it sound. I think they're made to look like this big dragon when really it's not really that. And I think people are starting to get wise to it. And mystics have been calling it out for generations now. Certainly your mother was one. And now here you're picking up the flame. So just thank you so much, Jenny. Take care and keep us in touch with what you're doing. If there's any reason you need to, be on a show, just let us know and we'll bring you back because this was just great. And yeah, thank you again.
Do you want me to just give my info? Do you want me to give
Yes,
you?
yes, yep.
You can reach me at Spirit Reunions with an S, sanctuary.com. Spirit Reunions, sanctuary.com. That's my website. Sessions can be booked there. And you can also contact me there, or you can email me at spiritreunions@gmail.com. So those are the places. I'm in East Tennessee. I'm in Jonesboro, Tennessee. Really near the North Carolina border, but we're here in the Crystal Mountains, the Cherokee Crystal Mountains, that's what they call them. It's a really, really beautiful heart-centered energy here. There's something really special about this part of the country, and I love that James has a SETI on the west side, and I've got it on the east side. I said, you know, we've kind of got it covered, you know, because we're both doing similar things. So, yeah, we do retreats until about the end of November. As soon as it starts freezing here, we close for the winter. But I do stay open as long as I can until that hard freeze hits, and then I don't try to winterize until then. So usually end of November. So if anybody wants to book retreats, reach out to me. And yeah, we're running, and we'll be here.
Love it, love it. Can't wait to get out there and see it myself. So thank you so much, Jenny. I really
Sure.
appreciate it. Yep, and travel safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I am so aligned with everything that Jenny is doing. To connect with her or go participate in her retreat center, go to www.spiritreunionsanctuary.com. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening.
Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Base Camp for Men.